You can't read the Bible without discovering that God is a missionary God. He sends people. I think of Isaiah the prophet 27 centuries ago when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who will I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me."
Do you remember the TV show Mission Impossible? Just about every adventure in the show began with your mission, should you choose to accept it. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik reveals that we as believers have a mission to accomplish, but we have to accept it first. After the study, Skip and his wife Lenya encourage us to make evangelism a part of our everyday lives.
So look for opportunities. Jesus was at the well of Samaria and engaged a woman in a conversation. And just to study that little story in the Gospel of John is fascinating how he did it. It's a very normal, natural thing. But he used a need that she had and spoke to the deeper need that was going on in her heart.
Do you want to study the Bible, but aren't quite sure where to begin? Or maybe you've been at it a while, but need more encouragement or direction? In his book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, Skip Heitzik takes the mystery out of studying the Scriptures and shows you how to open your eyes, mind, and heart to God's truth.
Teaching and learning dominated the individual lives of the early church. So unless we are constantly being exposed to the truth of Scripture, what we hear day in and day out takes over in terms of its influence.
Getting started in Bible study can be overwhelming, but in this easy-to-understand study tool, Skip provides keys that unlock the Bible and reveal its extraordinary relevance and transforming power. With a little help, not only will you understand God's Word, you'll enjoy studying it too. How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It is our gift to thank you for your donation to help The Connection continue connecting you to the truth and power of God's Word. So request your copy today when you visit connectiononline.org/offers. That's connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1 as we join Skip for the start of today's study.
From 1966 to 1973, every week on ABC Network was a show that became very, very popular. So popular that years later it turned into 3 full-featured films. It's called Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible was about a small group of secret agents that went by the initials IMF, that stood for Impossible Missions Force. And they were assigned to go against crime lords and evil dictators, and they had a mission somewhere in the world. And the episode started the same just about every week. They would gather together in some public place, locate their instructions via a reel-to-reel tape. That's how old it was. And they would listen to the instructions that started like this. Your mission, should you decide to accept it? And then the instructions were given. And at the end of the message, it said, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. That group, the IMF, Impossible Missions Force, was sent on a mission somewhere in the world, and they could accept it or they could not accept it. We're on a mission. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is the Great Commission, given to us by Jesus Christ. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go, he said. You can't take the word go out of the word gospel. Go is in the gospel. That's what missions is. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word missions, but perhaps if you were raised in a mainline Protestant church, it doesn't sound all that exciting. Maybe you have memories of those long mission services as you'd watch slide after slide after slide and a middle-aged couple droning on and on about new food and how hot those places are and learning that language. And here's yet another slide and another slide. And your parents forced you to go to those things. My mind conjures up something totally different. Being raised in the mid-60s in Catholic schools, when I hear missions, I think of the Pagan Baby Program. A lot of you have never heard of that. But back then, the classrooms of these schools were called upon to raise money. and $10 would save a pagan baby. And they had little pagan baby boxes you put your coins in. And so you'd save up $10 and you would sponsor or save a pagan baby. You would even, with that $10, get to name the pagan baby. Not that they didn't already have names. I don't know what that was about, but you'd somehow rename them. So that's what missions conjured up in my mind. But after I was saved, I went to the mission field. I spent several months in the Middle East living, and I discovered missions is adventurous, exciting. It's like, how come nobody ever told me about this before? And then after I was married, the first year, I think it was, with Lenya, we went over to India for 3 weeks. And my whole view of God's program was so different. You see, before I actually went overseas, my view of the world was very tight and very narrow. Being from California, I always thought of God as an American God who spoke California slang and smiled down on granola and guitar music. But going out and seeing the world and seeing the big view and the huge embrace that God has for the world made a difference. Now, we call it missions, but Jesus called it fishing. He said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." My dad was a great fisherman. I can't really say that I am in any sense of the word a fisherman, though he tried to get me to do that. I just never really formed an interest or got good at it. But I did have a friend later on who made it his goal to change that in my life. He took me fly fishing. And we scrambled through the backwoods, the difficult terrain, in the most hard-to-get-to place in the Sierra Nevada mountain range to go fly fishing. And I did it. And actually, it must have been just beginner's luck, but I caught the biggest fish, much bigger than my friend who was the expert. I think I made him angry for like months after that because he caught like some little tiny thing, and I caught this huge fish. But I discovered something about those who really love fishing. Those who really love fishing, if you were to ask them, okay, would you rather fish in a lake that has been fished over day after day, month after month, year after year, by thousands of people climbing over each other to fish in the same waters, or would you rather go to an out-of-the-way place, difficult terrain, hard to get to, it's hot when you get there, you have to camp outside, etc.? Oh, but the fish, boy, do they bite over there. It is the most amazing fishing place. I think the fishermen would say, I'll take option number two, way over option number one. Well, in effect, that's what missions is. I've never yet met a missionary on the field who didn't have an absolute love for being there because of the results they saw and how God was using them. So you've seen that bumper sticker, I'd rather be fishing. God would rather have you be fishing too, but fishing for souls, fishing for men. So today, let's look at that. Let's look in Acts chapter 1, principally in verse 8, and to get some background, let's read verses 1 through 8 in Acts chapter 1. The former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to depart from not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This morning, I basically have two closing points in this series on the church about mission. Our mission is global, and our mission is possible. It's global, and it's possible. Now, I'm going to give you a few reasons why it's global, why our vision for evangelism should be further than just our family and our city and our country. It's global for four reasons. Number one, because of the character of God himself. You can't read the Bible without discovering that God is a missionary God. He sends people. I think of Isaiah the prophet 27 centuries ago when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who will I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And the first missionary in the Bible is probably Abraham. Remember what God told Abraham? He said, "Leave your family, leave your home, and go to the place that I will show you." And so he went. Now, what was the purpose of his going? Well, according to God in Genesis chapter 12, "So that in you all of the families of the earth may be blessed." Now, that is the purpose of missions, right there in that verse. The purpose of missions, the ultimate purpose, is to bless the world through Jesus Christ, Abraham's descendant. God is the sending God. Furthermore, Jesus Christ himself was a missionary. Right? He left heaven and came to this earth with a purpose to seek and to save those who are lost. And his mission, by the way, was a cross-cultural mission. You know, we complain if we leave America and go to India. Imagine leaving heaven and coming to the earth. That's a cross-cultural mission trip. Jesus himself left the comforts of his heavenly home to come to this earth on a mission and to fulfill it. Robert Speer of the Student Volunteer Movement said, "If you want to follow Christ, you must follow him to the ends of the earth. For that is where he is going. We cannot think of God without thinking of him as a missionary God." So the Father and the Son were both involved in missions and the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, 60 plus, almost, well, 66 times, mentions the Holy Spirit, who is sending people through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the book of Acts follows that pattern. In fact, Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was largely a missionary event, as people from all over the world convened in Jerusalem, heard the gospel, were changed, and went back to their culture bearing the good news. So, because of the character of God, having that global vision and sending people out, and Jesus coming with the global intent of saving the world, because of the character of God, our mission is global. There's a second reason. Because of the condition of the harvest. The condition of the harvest, the world. The condition of the harvest is that people are soul sick, searching, without hope. That's how Paul described it, without God in this world. You remember when Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee and he looked over this crowd of people that had gathered? And the Bible says, Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest field." What was the condition? Jesus saw there's a lot of people, and they are weary and scattered. Or as one translation puts it, They were exhausted by their troubles and their long and aimless wanderings. Today on planet Earth, there's 6.7 billion people. 6.7 billion people. And of those 6.7 billion people, so many of them are lost. I told you before that if you were to line up all of the unsaved people, they would form a line that would go around planet Earth 30 times. 30 times. And the line is growing 20 miles longer every day. Because of the character of God and because of the condition of the harvest, the church must never turn inward and become one giant bless me club, where all of the activities are just for the members of the club. Our vision must be outward and it must be global. The third reason that our mission is global is because of what Jesus said. And this is really all the reason that we need, because of the commission of Jesus. See, it was Christ who said, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in verse 8 of Acts 1, to the uttermost parts of the earth, or as my version says, and to the end of the earth. That's where they were to go. Now, there's an argument that's been floating around for some time against missions, largely by unbelievers, sometimes by liberal so-called Christians. And the argument goes like this. Well, the gospel and Christianity is a Western religion. Really? Huh. In my historical research, I found that it's a Middle Eastern religion. And it went from there over here to the uttermost parts of the earth. But granted, let's just follow your thinking and say it's a Western religion. And this is what they say next. It's a Western religion, and we have no right to impose our Western religious values on another culture. So missions is largely out of vogue, out of favor, and hostility is growing toward it, because preaching the gospel through missions is incompatible with the spirit of tolerance, being tolerant of everybody else's belief. It's an infringement on their culture. One of the spokespeople for this view was none other than rock musician from the 1960s, Frank Zappa, who became very active against this. And he wrote, missionary evangelism is the height of cultural arrogance. To go to someone else's country and attempt through trickery, food, or medical treatment to capture souls for Jesus presumes that the guy with the travel budget and the hypodermic needle has a spiritual edge over the native that he is going to save. Close quote. Well, that may sound very politically correct, but it is spiritually very incorrect. The gospel message, according to Jesus, was for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when the angel first showed up in Bethlehem to announce Jesus' birth, do you remember what he said? We talk about it every Christmas. I come to bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people, not just Westerners, not just Americans, all people, all people. Here's why. When a person has a disease, treatment for that disease is the same no matter what culture. You take Hansen's disease, aka leprosy, it was called. When the cure was found, they discovered that you could give that cure to a person living in America or Argentina or Africa. It would work no matter where they lived, no matter what culture. If a person has a heart condition or a lung disease and they require treatment or vaccines, it is a universal application. So it is with the gospel. The cure for sin is universal. It's Jesus Christ. It's for all the world. And the doctor says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So because of the character of God, because of the condition of the harvest, because of the commission of Jesus, and here's a fourth reason why it's global, because of the coming judgment. Now here's something that even Christians often fail to be reminded of. There is a coming judgment. There is a time when evangelism will no longer be possible because God will ultimately and finally judge all of the world. I want you to look at Acts again, verse 9, where we left off in verse 8. The next verse says, "Now, when he had spoken these things, while they, the disciples, watched, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Can you picture the scene? Jesus had died, and then he was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, those hopeless disciples were so totally stoked. He's alive! And they never wanted him to leave. But he spent about a month, month and a half. Then he took him to the Mount of Olives one day, and they just watched as... And they stood there going, I just dumbfounded. And then two angels have to kind of come and tap him on the shoulder and go, excuse me, don't be so distracted with this, just like you were distracted with the kingdom coming to Israel a few verses back. But this same Jesus that you saw leave will come again in like manner.
The Great Commission is the greatest mission in all of history, and the lives of everyone in this world hang in the balance. But we aren't alone. The Holy Spirit is present to help us. Now let's hear from Skip and Lenya as they talk more about evangelism.
A lot of believers think that evangelism is just not for them. I get it. But we're all called to share the gospel of Jesus. We're in God's family, and it's a family business to let other people know. Skip, what are some creative ways we can make evangelism part of our daily routine?
Well, I think we should just look for opportunities. We're often praying for an open door, but we kind of are looking for a garage door to open automatically. Could just be that the door is cracked open a little bit. You just need to give it a little bit of a shove, and it's going to open all the way. So look for opportunities. Jesus was at the well of Samaria and engaged a woman in a conversation. And just to study that little story in the Gospel of John is fascinating how he did it. It was a very normal, natural thing. But he used a need that she had and spoke to the deeper need that was going on in her heart. But I get it. We're all wired differently, and some of us don't like to just walk up to somebody and just start talking. I understand that. I had a roommate who is a doctor, and I loved to give Bible studies, and I didn't mind speaking publicly. He, on the other hand, though he could do it, wasn't wired the same way, but he was a gifted writer. So what I discovered is Dennis had an incredible gift of writing letters of evangelism to friends that he would meet around the country. Mm. And I read some of these and I thought, this is a real gift. It's not a speaking gift, but it is a writing gift, and it's evangelism nonetheless. I have a musician friend, Doyle Dykes. A lot of people know about him. He has incredible doors open to him because of his giftedness in music. He plays and gets awards and gets his name on walls and gets brought before important heads of state and has an opportunity through his music to unlock a heart and open the door and drop a seed in.
Also, it's as simple as, you know, God reduced the commandments to love God and love others. And if you just love someone, the door will be opened for the gospel. You know, I'm just one of those empath peoples. I can walk through an airport and see someone crying, and I'll stop and say, "Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Can I pray for you?" And I think you'll be so surprised that people, if you just notice their pain or things that they're going through, you know, again, I'm just an empath, so I can be in a grocery store and see a couple struggling with, you know, how am I going to pay for this? And the Lord will just say, give them $10 or whatever it is. But I can say, in Jesus' name, God just told me to do this, and I want you to know that's who's giving you this. And I think all those little seeds, you know, they might be planted and watered and weeded and tilled, but eventually they'll bring a harvest. So, you know, just make sure you sow seeds, whatever they look like.
Yeah, like Paul said, by all means or by any means that I could save some. So you're not called to save the world, but there are people around you that you live next to, that you're related to, that are looking at you. And because they are, you're on stage. You have a great opportunity to use that stage for His glory.
At The Connection, we want to help our listeners live a life of revolutionary faith in Jesus Christ, and you can come alongside us in that endeavor by helping us keep these Bible teachings on the air. Give a one-time donation right now or become a monthly donor. Pick up the phone and call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Thank you for your generosity.
Tune in tomorrow when Skip wraps up our series with a reminder that our mission to share the gospel with the world is possible.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.